Chapter 8. Unaccustomed.
Mark reached Halifax without further incident. He'd had some trouble with a road-raging driver behind the wheel of a lowboy along the way, but he'd taken care of that maniac at a weigh scale back in Ontario. What Mark wouldn't have given to see the lowboy driver's face when the inspectors called him out of his truck and started looking for a gun. That was classic, thought Mark, and probably one of the few times the boys who manned the coops had actually been a help to him. If only all his memories of his trips past the scale houses had been so happy. After unloading the plastic pool toys at a warehouse just outside of Halifax, Mark had lunch at a Tim Hortons while he read through a copy of the Halifax Chronicle Herald. After lunch, Mark pulled out his cell phone and called Bud about his next load. He'd actually called the dispatcher the day before, but true to his nature, Bud didn't have anything nailed down for the next day and asked Mark to call him back after he delivered his load.
Yeah.
It's Mark. Mark Dalton.
The Mark Dalton.
The Mark Dalton, the one and only.
What can I do for you?
Mark shook his head. In all his years driving for Bud, Mark had never called him socially. The only reason Mark ever had for calling was to get his next load. But Bud always treated his calls as if they could be about anything.
What's the weather like in Toronto?
What do you care? It'll have changed by the time you get here.
You got a load for me then?
It's what I do, isn't it?
Just tell me where it is.
Well, it's in Montreal, being unloaded as we speak.
From a ship?
That's right.
And it couldn't be unloaded in Halifax?
You deliver your loads to the right warehouse, or is anyone that's got a loading dock just as good as another?
All right, give me the address in Montreal then.
106 L'Avenue de Royale.
What's the load anyway?
According to the shipper, it's floor covering.
You mean like carpet and floor tiles?
I guess so. The stuff's from Germany. It's headed for New York State.
They don't make carpet in the United States?
Guy says there's some new German heritage building going up in Hamburg, New York, and they need special stuff from Germany for it.
When's it have to be there?
You got 3 days, plenty of time.
That's if nothing goes wrong.
Come on, Dalton, you've been driving for years. With your experience, what could go wrong?
The next morning, Mark picked up a trailer backed up to one of the warehouses just outside the port of Montreal. The doors of the trailer were already sealed when he got there, which Mark wasn't happy about since he always liked to know exactly what he was carrying.
Hey, buddy, can you open the back? I need to check the load. Thanks.
The back of the trailer was stacked with rolls of carpet, which was exactly what was listed on the shipping invoice. Mark couldn't be sure if the carpet filled the entire length of the trailer, so he was left to trust that the shipper and the customs broker had provided him with all the proper documentation he'd need to cross the border without any hassle.
There's your customs invoice. You're all set.
Great. Thanks.
When he reached the border at Niagara Falls, he would have to see a customs broker to have the load cleared, and then it would be on to customs for what he hoped were just a few friendly questions and a wave across the border. Between Montreal and the border, it would be up to Mark to fill out an inbound manifest which listed what was on the truck. The forms were easy enough to complete, but he'd still have to be careful since customs officers no longer helped drivers fill them out. If a customs officer had to correct anything or help a driver complete the form, it could result in a $1,000 fine. So when Mark was sure he had everything he needed and all his T's were crossed and his I's dotted, he put Mother Load into gear and started the journey west. Although crossing into the U.S. at Brockville or Kingston would cut an hour off his trip, he tried to stay away from those border crossings. He'd had a couple of bad experiences entering the U.S. through northern New York State, so he tried to avoid it as much as he could. Besides that, driving the 401 would save him close to $50 Canadian in tolls, so that made his decision to cross at Niagara Falls a slam dunk. After a couple of stops along the way, Mark was closing in on the Lewiston border crossing and was wondering if he'd be able to find his destination in Hamburg in time to unload today. If he had a straight run in, he might make it, but since he would be crossing the border, it was more likely that he'd have to wait until morning to unload. As he neared Niagara Falls, Mark took the left exit for Lewiston, New York, which was designated at the crossing for all truck and commercial traffic entering into western New York State. But before he crossed the border, Mark had to be checked out by the customs broker hired by the shipper. He was unfamiliar with the broker listed in the paperwork, but shippers worked with brokers they were comfortable with. So all Mark could do was trust that between the two of them, all the paperwork was in order. The broker clearing her throat was a young woman who seemed to be in a hurry. Mark checked his watch and noted that it was near 5 in the afternoon and probably close to her quitting time. In no time at all, she had the back of the trailer open, saw the rolls of carpet, and was satisfied that everything was in order. She signed her name to all the forms.
Well, that was fast.
I was on vacation as of 15 minutes ago.
Going anywhere special?
Yeah, my honeymoon.
That would explain her rush, but hopefully she was like the guys at Midas, whose motto had been for years, first you get good, then you get fast.
Well, I wish you luck.
Yes, you too.
What the...
One of the radiator hoses had a pinhole in it near the radiator intake and was spewing steam like a kettle. Mark looked around the yard, wondering if the luck the broker had wished upon him had been bad. Mark thought about turning back into Canada to get the problem repaired, but he was just about as far from an American repair shop as he was from a Canadian one. If he patched up the hole, he'd be able to drive a few kilometers over the border and then a mile or two to a shop on the other side. So that's what he did.
Yes, duct tape.
Taking a roll of elasticized tape from his repair kit, he set about wrapping the hose. The hole was in an awkward spot, and he had to position himself into the engine compartment to make sure he had a tight seal on it. On the first revolution, he slipped, getting some oil on his face and hands. And on the second time around, he lost his balance and struck his head on a clamp.
Ow! God damn it!
After that, he was more careful and managed to wrap the tape around the hose without further incident, sealing up the hole well enough to get him over the border. But as he was pulling himself out of the engine compartment, his shirt got caught on a bolt.
Damn it!
His shirt was torn at the right shoulder and his hands were dirty, but at least his Peterbilt was well enough to be on her way. Mark took a look at the hose to see how it was holding up. There was a little drop of water on the tape, but it wasn't steaming anymore. Mark felt confident he'd be able to make it into the repair shop on the U.S. side. At the border, he was lucky enough to find a booth without a lineup. He stopped next to the sign asking him to wait, watched for the light to turn green, and then pulled up to the booth. The U.S. Customs officer looked like he'd just graduated high school and couldn't have been more than 21 years old. His shirt was neatly pressed, and he was wearing a tie that was clipped tightly to it. He looked as if he were trying to grow a mustache, but all he'd been able to manage was a little dirt under his nose.
Hey there.
The customs officer looked at Mark with an expression of surprise on his face, with wide eyes and a mouth that was open in the shape of an egg.
Park your rig over there.
But you didn't even ask me a question or look at my papers.
Just park it over there and then get out of your truck.
Mark couldn't believe it. He'd been asked to pull his rig into the lot for inspection, something he hadn't been asked to do in years. What had gone wrong? He was met at the lot by the customs officer, who Mark couldn't help but think had just finished with high school and was trying to make his mark at his new job. In fact, Mark wouldn't have been surprised if this was the guy's first week on the job, maybe even his first day.
Is something wrong?
That's what I want to find out. What are you carrying?
Floor coverings. Carpet, actually, just like it says in all the paperwork.
Oh, well, we'll see about that. Please open the back of the trailer.
Just as it had been on the loading dock in Montreal, the trailer was loaded with rolls of German carpet.
See what I tell you?
What's at the front of the trailer?
Carpet.
You sure?
Of course I'm sure.
Well, let's have a look.
At the top of the rolls, the man sat down comfortably, then pulled a pocket light from his sleeve protector and crawled on all fours into the trailer. Maybe there was some sort of international carpet trade war going on at the moment that Mark wasn't aware of. Those sort of things happen with fish or wood products, why not carpet? Maybe some European countries like Germany were dumping carpet into the U.S. and putting a lot of red-blooded Americans out of work. As much as Mark wanted to take the guy over his knee and spank him for ruining his day, Mark had to keep his cool and show some respect. Customs officers, after all, had all sorts of discretionary powers at their disposal, and if you showed one of these guys some attitude or otherwise got them pissed off, they could hit you like a Mack truck, then stop and back up over you just to make sure you wouldn't be getting up onto your feet anytime soon.
You want to tell me again what you've got in this trailer?
Rolls of carpet from Germany.
You sure about that?
Floor coverings, so maybe there's some floor tiles in there too. What is it?
The guy jumped down from the trailer and waved to a couple of nearby officers and motioned them to join him.
Do you have any weapons on you?
What? No, of course not.
Would you mind emptying your pockets?
No, but I don't see...
Put the contents in this bucket, please.
What have I done?
For starters, you made a false statement about your load.
What?
There looks to be some tools at the front of the trailer for laying and stretching carpet. Those aren't floor covering, my friend. They're floor covering installation tools.
You gotta be kidding me.
Do I look like I'm kidding?
The kid looked serious, real serious, like he was thinking about asking the girl down the street to the prom. It killed Mark to say the S word, but he knew if he didn't, things would only get worse.
No, sir, you don't.
High school didn't bat an eye over being called sir by a man 20 years his senior. In fact, he looked as if he expected it from Mark. and that grated on Mark's nerves even more. High school escorted Mark into the customs office and took down all of his personal information, not all that impressed by the fact that he had no real permanent address in Canada.
Maybe you should clean yourself off. The bathroom's down there.
Mark knew he'd dirtied his hands repairing the radiator hose, but from the way he was talking to him, it sounded like he might want to have a shower or a bath before coming out again. Mark took a look at himself in the mirror. He couldn't believe what he saw. Not only had his hands been turned black during his time under the hood of Motherlode, but his face had been turned black too. There was a huge black smudge on his right cheek and a streak of oil on his left that was still fresh and glistening in the light coming from over the mirror. But if that wasn't bad enough, when he'd lost his balance under the hood, he'd cut his forehead. It was a small cut and he hardly noticed it, but it had bled badly in the last hour and there were streaks of blood over his eyes and a long thin streak that curled around his right eyebrow and ran all the way down into his cheek and neck. And to top it all off, he'd torn his shirt as well, completing the ensemble. Anyone looking at him would have wondered what the hell he'd been doing in the past hour. No wonder high school had pulled him over. The guy probably thought he'd caught a murderer, or at least some violent offender, and denying him entry into the U.S. would probably make him a hero. Trouble was, he wasn't a killer or a violent offender. He was just some sucker who'd broken down at the wrong time and happened to be pulled over when his load and his paperwork were out of cinch by a hair. Normally, it would have been an honest mistake, but this time, with the help of his appearance, it was a big, big problem. Mark cleaned up as best he could, getting most of the blood and oil off his face and running his fingers through his hair to get it sitting as straight as possible. When he left the bathroom, he could see the customs officers were busy unloading his trailer and were pulling out boxes of tools and machinery, none of which had been on his customs invoice. Mark knew he was in trouble, but just how deep would be up to high school.
So, Mark Dalton, it would appear that you've made a false statement.
I was only going by what the shipper gave me. The customs broker cleared the load too, so...
You ever had any trouble with the law?
I used to be a private investigator.
I can see that. There are all sorts of charges here. Obstruction, trespassing, mischief.
Nothing real serious though, right?
I would call drug possession fairly serious, wouldn't you?
Drug possession?
20 years ago, you were doing drugs. 10 years ago, you were getting in the way of the police. Today, you're giving false statements to customs officials.
Oh, that was for a marijuana joint back in my college days. That was more than 20 years ago.
We're going to be impounding your vehicle and searching it.
I don't believe this. In all my years driving, I've never even been inspected, never mind searched.
Well then, it would seem like you're due.
They gave Mark his cell phone so he could make a few calls. His first call was to Bud.
The shipper says it's your responsibility to check your load. They got 100 or more trucks leaving the warehouse every day. They don't have time to check every one in detail. Driver's just got the one load, so...
Don't tell me you're siding with this guy, Bud.
No, not at all. I'm just telling you what he said to me.
Do you have to make it sound like you agree with him?
I've gotten about 4 loads a month from him for years. The one time something goes wrong, you want me to forget how much good business I've done with him.
Well, you could at least call him a name or something.
All right. I'm just telling you what the asshole said. You feel better?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Thanks. What about the broker? They cleared the load without checking the trailer, too.
Yeah, well, the shipper says he won't be using them anymore. He'd switch to save himself $20 a load, but obviously the savings wasn't worth it.
You're telling me I'm gonna end up with $20,000 in fines and have my truck impounded for a lousy $20?
Shit, sounds bad when you say it that way, don't it? Look at the bright side. After you pay the fines, you'll be able to sue the shipper and the broker to recoup your costs.
But you're no help at all.
I'm doing what I can, Mark.
Do you know any lawyers who specialize in customs laws?
I doubt that would do you any good right now. But give me an hour or so and I'll call you back with the names and numbers of a couple of lawyers.
Yeah, thanks, Bud. Having a lawyer would make me feel a little better about this whole thing. Maybe even pull the reins back on this customs guy. He's like 20 years old and has an attitude like I'm the guy who stole his lunch money through high school.
Why do you think you need a lawyer?
I don't really need one. I just thought that maybe a lawyer would, like, you know, be good to have.
Well, you just might be right on that count. Because I think you might be hiding something inside your truck.
Like what?
I don't know. That's why I'm going to have your vehicle disassembled, so I can check the pieces carefully.
You can't do that. Can you?
Oh, yes, I can.
Don't you need just cause or warrant or something?
You're confusing U.S. Customs with NYPD Blue. But if you want probable cause, how about making a false statement and having a past criminal record?
But you're not going to find anything in my truck.
Oh, maybe I should just take your word for it. After all, you haven't lied to me before, have you?
That truck is my whole life. You can't just rip it up just because you feel like it.
Oh, yes, I can.
Mark was certain he was going to be sick. By the time he got to the bathroom, it turned out to be a false alarm. So instead of making a call on the Great White telephone, he lowered the seat and sat down to think in peace. Did he have anything illegal in the cab? He didn't think so, but then again, he'd been sure he'd be able to cross the border without a problem too. He did have a Louisville Slugger stowed behind his seat, and that could be construed as a weapon, even though in court the case could be made for it being an essential tool for checking tire pressure. Mark would just have to wait and see what they found, and hope that his truck wouldn't be too mangled by the custom department officers and mechanics.
Yeah, we're home free, my friend.
But they're gonna search our truck.
So, Mark thought, he wasn't the only one who was getting his world turned upside down today.
Relax, they're not gonna find this stuff.
At the mention of stuff, Mark lifted his feet off the floor and unlocked the stall door.
Yeah, why not?
Mark imagined the first guy was bending over right now, checking to see if there were any feet in the stalls.
They're not gonna find this stuff because they're checking the trailer. They can look inside every damn box and they're gonna find nothing but empty glass bottles, just like it says on the invoice.
The stuff's hidden, right?
Damn right it is.
Where?
Fuel tanks are tricked. Only the top half's for diesel fuel. The bottom?
Oh man, that's so cool.
Not as cool as the cash we'll be getting when we deliver this load.
The irony of the situation was too much. Here was Mark, who had made an honest mistake, being raked over the coals while smugglers, who were proud of the way they defied the law, would be getting away with their crime and probably become millionaires in the process. While he couldn't do anything about his own situation, perhaps he could do something about these other guys getting across the border unscathed. Then, after another moment's thought, Mark wondered if maybe there was something he could do to help himself out and catch the bad guys all at the same time. When Mark returned from the washroom, he found mechanics working on motherlode and parts of her lying all over the place. Mark felt like crying. That was his whole life sitting there in pieces on the asphalt. There was no way he deserved any of this. But he checked himself before he thought life wasn't fair. Kids with brain tumors wasn't fair. Like it or not, this was part of the business he was in. This time, he got stopped crossing the border and was suffering the full extent of the law. The next time, he could sail through without as much as a nod from the customs officer. It was like rolling the dice. He'd lost the first round, but maybe he could win the next. On the left of Motherlode was a box trailer, pulled by an early model black and yellow Western Star. On the right was a late model white Volvo with a President's Choice trailer behind it. Mark couldn't be sure which rig belonged to the man he'd overheard in the washroom, but his guess was that it wasn't the PC trailer. That one was probably driven by an old-timer who'd been driving for the same company for years, and as he watched the rigs, he saw a gray-haired man with a pronounced belly come out of the customs office carrying a camera bag. The guy was probably traveling with a new video camera or some other piece of equipment and wanted to have it tagged to avoid any hassle crossing the border with it. Minutes after the old-timer drove off, two men came out of the customs office and climbed into the black and yellow Western Star. Mark thought they were the ones from the washroom, but he couldn't be sure. The fuel tanks on their truck looked normal enough, but Mark knew that if someone went to the trouble to trick the tanks, they'd probably have taken the time to do an expert job of it. Mark's only chance was to talk to them and listen to them speak.
I hope you guys didn't get screwed too.
What?
Over there.
That's your truck?
Yeah, well, it used to be.
That's too bad, man.
And all I was carrying was carpet, you know? You'd think a few rolls of carpet would be no sweat.
Yeah, sorry. Better luck next time, huh?
So what are you guys hauling that customs are so interested in?
Glass, empty bottles.
They pulled you over for that?
Yeah, I guess so. Look, I gotta get going, so if you don't mind...
Oh, yeah, sorry. Safe driving.
The guy behind the wheel didn't respond. Mark turned and went looking for high school. He didn't want to give the kid such a gift, but it was the best chance he had for getting Motherlode back on the road today. He found him at the desk behind the counter of the customs office.
Hey there.
What do you want now?
Is this a bad time?
What is it?
Well, you know that black and yellow Western Star that just pulled out of the lot?
What about it?
I think they've smuggled something into your country.
Is that right?
Yeah. They've got something done to their fuel tank so that the top carries fuel and the bottom is carrying something else.
Right.
No, I'm serious. I heard that...
Look, you already lied to me about what you've had in the back of your truck.
But...
And now, because your truck's lying in pieces, you want me to go chasing after someone else.
No, that's
not... Well, I'll tell you something. I'm busy enough at the moment nailing your ass to the wall, so if you don't mind, go tell your story to the wind and let me get my work done.
You know, I envy you.
Huh?
Losing my virginity was one of the best moments of my life. And you obviously still have that to look forward to.
You asshole! You're gonna pay for that!
High school suddenly looked incensed. Mark knew he'd probably just gotten himself into a whole lot more trouble if that was possible, but he couldn't stop himself. The guy was a little too high on the ladder and needed to be taken down a few rungs. Problem was, Mark wasn't really in the position to bring him down from his perch. Outside, he found an older customs officer, having a cigarette by one of those outdoor buttstop ashtrays. The guy was bald on top, white around the edges, and looked as if he'd been working the border when Packards and DeSoto's ruled the road.
Hey, how you doing?
Making a living.
Been out here long?
A few minutes.
Did you see that black and yellow Western Star that pulled out of here a little while ago?
Yeah. What about it?
Well, when I was in the washroom, I could hear one of the guys...
The old guy listened intently, not interrupting Mark until he was finished telling his story. Mark was watching the mechanics disassembling Motherlode when he was joined by the older customs officer.
State troopers pulled him over.
And...
Check one of the fuel tanks with a dipstick, and it only went down 8 inches. The tank's about 30 inches deep.
And what was in the bottom of the tank? Drugs?
I don't know yet. They're towing the tractor to an impound yard, and they'll be opening up the tanks there. And my guess is they'll find cocaine in there.
You think?
We've known there have been drugs coming through our crossing for the past 6 months, but we couldn't figure out how it was being carried. Well... Now we know.
So is that what high school's looking for in my rig?
Who?
High school. The young officer looks like he's just graduated and desperately needs to pop his cherry.
Oh, Myra. Yeah, he's a real nutbuster. Yeah, we've told him to lay off and relax, but he's slow getting the message.
Sure would appreciate it if you told him to tell the guys to put my truck back together for me.
Hey, look, the way you helped us out, it'd be my pleasure. In fact, it's the least we could do.
If it's the least you could do, I have another request. I'd like high school to be the one to put my truck back together personally.
But he's not a mechanic. I don't think he knows much about trucks.
Oh, no problem. I'll supervise him.
A wry smile appeared on the old guy's face, as if he just might watch.
Chapter 9, Death Rides a Semi.
Mark spent the night in the parking lot of a German heritage building in Hamburg, New York. In the morning, just after dawn, he was awakened by the tapping of an elderly man against his windshield.
Yeah.
Would you like some coffee or strudel?
Oh, thanks.
Mark was dressed and out of the truck a minute later. In addition to the elderly man, a custodian of the building named Gunter, there were also a dozen young German men waiting to unload the trailer. However, Mark's instructions were just to get someone to sign for the load and leave the trailer on site so the carpet could be unloaded as needed. Someone else would be by in a week or so to pick up the trailer when it was empty.
I hope you didn't have any problems crossing the border. We've had several things turn bad lately, even some beer.
No problem. It was a piece of strudel.
When all of the paperwork was in order and Mark was free to leave, he gave his dispatcher Bud a call.
Hey, Dalton. Don't worry about a thing. I got a lawyer all lined up for you. He's tied up till Tuesday, but he promises to be down there first thing Wednesday morning.
No need for a lawyer, Bud. I'm calling from Hamburg looking for another load.
Another load? You mean I've been on the phone all night trying to get a lawyer for you and you got across?
Yeah. It's a long story. I'll tell you over a beer one day.
All right, it's a deal.
What about a load?
Well, you caught me a little off guard. I don't have anything in the area. But if you don't mind coming back to Toronto empty, I got a load heading west.
Normally, Mark wouldn't be thrilled about driving anywhere empty, but the prospect of crossing the border without a load was just what the doctor ordered.
Don't mind at all. What's the address?
I Ontario Food Terminal. It's a shipment of bulk rice from Pakistan, headed for a packager in Calgary.
From Pakistan? They grow rice there?
Yeah, apparently. You'll be there in the morning.
All right, will do.
Mark parked his rig far enough from the terminal to be out of the way of the people and trucks that constantly buzzed around the building. As he walked to the terminal office, Mark was amazed yet again at how busy the place looked. At first glance, it appeared to be a madhouse of confusion and turmoil, as if the place were under attack. But upon closer observation, it became apparent that everyone knew exactly where they had to be and when. And more than that, there was order to the madness, and what seemed like chaos was actually very highly organized. At the main terminal office, he got directions to the Ravi Roadways offices, and a short time later, he was ringing the bell on the door of the company's small storefront operation.
Help you?
Yeah, I'm looking for Don Nanalal.
He's not here right now. I'm his brother, Chunder.
Mark Dalton, I'm here for the load to Calgary.
The man seemed to take a deep breath, as if Mark's arrival was some sort of significant event.
Ah, very good.
Is it loaded yet?
No. My brother is usually very good about getting such things ready, but no one has seen him this morning. But the trailer is in the yard. You must get it and bring it round to the loading dock.
He scribbled the trailer number, a map to its location, and the loading dock number on a piece of paper and handed the paper to Mark. Mark studied the information.
See you at the dock.
Yes, I will be there shortly.
Mark turned to leave, then noticed a young woman peeking out from a room at the back of the office. Mark waved, but she was gone before he could say hello.
I'll meet you on the dock.
Right, see you there.
Mark left the office with the feeling that something hadn't been right back there. But he had enough experience to know that some guys were go-go all the time, and any wasted time was always counted in dollars instead of minutes. Then again, maybe it was something else. Mark was suddenly stopped by a stiff hand to the chest. When he looked up, two scruffy-looking characters were standing in front of him, one with a lit cigarette hanging from the corner of his mouth, the other with a toothpick jutting out from his teeth like a needle.
What's your problem, pal?
My problem?
Can't you find any honest work? You gotta work for Osama's company?
What?
They ship produce from Pakistan, pal.
Yeah, so?
Well, you can't trust anyone from that part of the world these days. Know what I mean?
No, I don't know. In case you haven't watched CNN lately, Pakistan's helping the Americans.
Not all of them.
Well, isn't that funny? Up until now, I'd refused to judge smokers as a group, choosing instead to judge them individually on a person-by-person basis. But now, meeting up with you, I'm inclined to think they're all assholes.
Cigarette's eyes grew wide, and he was about to grab Mark by the collar when Toothpick stopped him.
Forget it, Corey. He ain't worth the trouble.
Cigarette seemed to think about that for a moment, staring at Mark with two narrowed eyes. Cigarette patted Mark on the cheek, turned, and walked away. Mark shook his head in dismay. If he had been harassed just for driving for their company, what Chunder and his brother had to put up with since the attacks in New York and Washington, Mark couldn't even imagine. He found the trailer off in a far corner of the yard and easily had it hooked up to the back of Motherlode in less than 20 minutes. A short time later, he had the rig backed up to the loading dock he'd been assigned and was climbing up a ladder to get back onto the dock. He looked up and down, but Chunder was nowhere in sight. Figuring the man would be along any moment to supervise the loading, Mark undid the latch, securing the barn doors of the trailer, then opened the first one, then the other. With the doors open, there was a slight buzzing sound in the air and a rather foul odor coming from inside the trailer.
Not the best smelling trailer to be shipping food in.
A few moments later, with the doors secured on either side of the box, Mark took a look inside the dark, dark trailer.
Holy shit!
There was a body lying on its back just inside the trailer. A small pool of blood had formed around the head, and there was a broom lying flat on the floor next to it. Mark took a few steps into the trailer to take a closer look at the body. He knelt down beside it and placed a hand on the neck. No pulse. The flesh was cold. He tried lifting a hand, but it was stiff with rigor mortis. He tried the neck and jaw, and they were still locked as well. Mark guessed the man had been dead between 12 and 16 hours. And then saw something that confirmed his assumption. Maggots were crawling out of the mouth and over the lips of the corpse. The satisfaction Mark felt over his correct deduction was short-lived, as it was immediately followed by the urge to vomit. He made it out of the trailer just in time to preserve the integrity of the crime scene. It didn't take long for the police to begin treating the man's death as a homicide,
and they asked Mark to stick around the terminal while they conducted their investigation. Mark got the feeling that if he pushed and made a big stink about lost time, he could have just left his name and number with the detectives and headed off with another load. But Mark didn't want to get back on the road just yet. He was much more interested in sticking around to see how everything panned out. After all, how often did a dead man turn up inside the back of one of his trailers? And beyond that, even though the dead man's brother, Chunder, seemed to have the case all wrapped up for the police, Mark was still curious about who the killer might be. It was sort of like an episode of Murder, She Wrote, and even though Mark thought of himself more in terms of Mike Hammer than Jessica Fletcher, this murder had the makings of a classic hour-long television drama. A dead businessman, his brother and partner, a pretty young widow, even two unsavory villains.
Those two men are to blame. I know they did it, and I want them arrested.
The cop was trying to remain calm, and had tried to get the grieving man off the loading dock and somewhere private. But it didn't look like Chunder was cooperating. In fact, it looked a lot like the man wanted to make a public display of his anger. And the more people who showed up to see what was going on, the louder his rant got.
They are taunting us all the time, calling us names and threatening us with violence. They are behind this.
He pointed into the crowd, but Mark couldn't make out exactly who he was pointing at. The cop ushered Chunder aside so they could speak in private. Mark moved to a spot where he could overhear the interview unnoticed by the police.
You know of a specific reason why someone might want your brother dead?
They don't need a reason. They all hate us. They're jealous of my brother. He was close to being a millionaire, and they are lucky if they can make payments on their trucks.
Okay, so that makes them assholes. But why would they want to kill your brother?
You know what happened in New York?
Yeah?
They blame us for it. Think we're involved somehow. I know who did this. I want those two men arrested.
It sounded as if the man's rant had come full circle. Mark had heard it already once, and it was beginning to wear thin. He decided to get a cup of coffee and see if he couldn't find out more about the dead man and the two suspects, the two men he knew as Cigarette and Toothpick. When he got to the food terminal coffee shop, Mark bought a large coffee and a fritter, then scanned the faces of the customers, hoping to find someone he recognized. And then he saw a familiar face in the crowd. He sat down next to a short, dark-haired man with a thick mustache and beard.
I know you, don't I?
You look familiar to me, too.
Yeah, I think we were lined up together a couple of times at the rail yards in Concord, waiting for loads.
Yeah, that might be it. How's it going?
You know, if it doesn't want to go, I give it a push.
My name's Cheyenne Ashukian.
Is that a native name, Cheyenne?
Nope, it's Armenian.
I'm Mark Dalton. I don't know what my name is, since I've got ancestors spread out all across Europe.
That makes you a Canadian, like me.
Right. You know anything about the guy they found dead this morning?
Don Nalalal?
Yeah, that was his name.
Yeah, never did me wrong.
His brother thinks it was a couple of guys who've been giving his family problems since 9/11.
I wouldn't be surprised. People just see your face and skin color and they think you're a terrorist. Or you know somebody who is.
Are they Muslim?
You see, that's exactly what I'm talking about. They're not even Muslim. They're Hindu. That's why they left Pakistan. But I doubt there are 24 people in the terminal who know that or even care.
Mark looked at Cheyenne. Although he was Armenian, he could easily pass for someone from Afghanistan or any other country in the Middle East.
You had problems since then, too?
Just little things. Usually from small-minded people.
You think those two guys did it, like the dead man's brother says?
Cheyenne thought about it for a long while.
No. They're giving the brothers a hard time, sure. They've even had a few words for me, but I doubt they're stupid enough to kill anyone over it. I mean, they've all got trucks to pay for and mouths to feed. They talk a good game, but I've seen one of them, the one with the toothpick, haul a load for the brothers.
They hired those guys?
The loads were subcontracted a couple of times, so the drivers didn't know who they were really carrying for. I think they knew, though, but they didn't want to ask too many questions about it, if you know what I mean.
And the dead guy, Don, he didn't mind giving them work?
I don't know. He was a pretty decent guy. He probably knew those guys were full of shit, and he needed loads moved.
Then if it wasn't those two jokers, who would want Don Nanalo killed?
You tell me one trucking company owner who doesn't have at least a few enemies out there.
Mark was about to mention his dispatcher, Bud, but he remembered the near-death experience he had a while back when he filled in for Bud. The guy's name was Glenn, and he wanted to beat Bud to a pulp for sleeping with his ex-wife.
Well, I guess I can't argue with you there.
Owners got all kinds of skeletons in their closets, especially the ones who are really successful in a short period of time. A lot of them don't always play fair with their drivers.
And this Don Nanalo was like that.
Are you kidding? I've never seen a guy work so hard in my life. He had his company 15 years and was only starting to make some real money the last three.
So maybe he was killed over something that had nothing to do with his company or trucks.
Maybe. But with these guys, their business is their life.
That was probably true, but no matter how hard someone worked, they still had a private life. After all, the trouble he'd gotten into while filling in for Bud had been for a personal matter and had nothing to do with the trucking business. Maybe that was what was going on here. Mark decided it might be worth checking out. When Mark returned to his rig, he offered the cop guarding the back of his trailer a fresh cup of coffee. The cop seemed pleased by the gesture, accepting the coffee with great appreciation. He was a young man in uniform and looked bored with his assignment. Mark was certain that the cop had gotten all excited about being around a murder scene, only to be disappointed when the job turned out to be keeping an eye on an empty trailer.
Thought you would have been gone by now.
No, I thought I'd stick around, you know, see what happens.
Detectives said they don't need you anymore.
Are the detectives getting anywhere on the case?
Why? What's it to you?
Mark realized that while the cop was young, he was also very bright and would become suspicious if Mark asked too many questions. Mark would have to be careful not to make his prodding too obvious.
Well, in addition to the dead guy being found in the back of my trailer, I used to be a private investigator before I became a trucker, so I'm curious about stuff like this.
Private Dick, eh?
For example, I figured that the man had been dead about 12 hours, maybe a little more, 16 at the most.
How'd you know that?
Am I right?
Yeah.
Have they made a guess as to how the guy was killed?
The cop paused a moment, as if sizing Mark up. Finally, he answered the question, hopefully because Mark had shown that he wasn't just being nosy.
Blow to the head, most likely.
Blunt force trauma.
That's right.
You think there was a fight?
They're looking into it.
Do you think he was killed in the trailer?
I don't know. The dead man's brother says he was probably sweeping the trailer out late last night, so it'll be ready this morning. For you. He did a lot of that sort of thing. Working late, cleaning up.
So he died in the trailer.
The cop looked as if he was becoming irritated by Mark's constant questions. There was only so much a cup of coffee bought you, it seemed, and Mark was mentally kicking himself for not bringing along a donut as well.
Yeah, it looks like he died in the trailer.
Mark didn't believe that. His gut was telling him otherwise.
Don't you think it's kinda too neat and tidy a story for you?
What do you mean?
Well, the dead man's brother is shoving you guys in the direction of the killer or killers. I mean, he's even providing you with a motive.
The cop just looked at him, as if he'd finally worn out the thin welcome the coffee had earned him. But Mark didn't care. If he could put a few ideas into the cop's head, maybe some of it might make its way to the detectives.
The dead man was supposedly in a fight with a couple of troublemakers, but the broom isn't broken or scratched in any way. There should be loose bristles all over the back of the trailer, but it's clean. I know if I'm being attacked and I have a broom in my hand, I'm gonna use it to defend myself.
The cop looked into the dark, empty rear of the trailer as if thinking.
And if he was hit over the head with something in the back of the trailer, then where's the blood spatters? I've never seen anyone get their head cracked open, but I imagine it can be pretty bloody. There's not even much blood on the floor of the trailer where he fell. If that's where he died, there would be a huge pool of blood all around him.
The cop continued looking into the back of the trailer for a while longer, then turned around to face Mark.
Well, he was a pretty old guy, so if he were attacked by two younger men, maybe he didn't have a chance to defend himself.
I don't think so.
He had tried not to come off sounding like a wise ass or smart aleck, but judging by the cop's face, he failed miserably.
Look, pal, thanks for the coffee, but with all due respect, why don't you get into your truck and get the hell out of here?
Sorry, I was just trying to help out here.
Yeah, well, as shocking as it might sound, we don't need your help.
Oh, I think you do.
Mark regretted the comment the moment he said it, since his words seemed to have pushed all the wrong buttons. The polite demeanor and bit of respect the young policeman had been showing Mark up until now was suddenly gone. Instead, the man scowled at Mark, and it was clear that the cop wasn't interested in hearing any more of Mark's ideas on the case.
Listen. They've got four detectives working this case, and with all their years on the force, I'm sure they'll be able to figure it out without your help. Just like they did in all the other murders they solved lately.
Mark wanted to say something more, but he'd been around cops long enough to know when to back off and leave well enough alone. Besides, he basically said the cops didn't have a clue as to what they were doing, and it was pretty hard to backtrack from something like that. Still, it wouldn't hurt to try.
I suppose you're right. You know how it is. People don't get caught up in murder investigations all that often, so when one happens and you're right there on the scene, it's pretty easy to get carried away.
Look, if it'll make you feel any better, I'll pass along your theories to the detectives.
Sure. Whatever.
He turned and started to walk away when the cop grabbed his jacket sleeve and stopped him.
Hey!
What?
Thanks for the coffee.
Yeah, don't mention it.
Mark left the cop guarding the crime scene and headed for the Ravi Roadways office to do a little investigating of his own. Along the way, he noticed a couple of detectives interviewing the two loudmouths from this morning, Cigarette and Toothpick. The cops had taken over a couple of the terminal's offices and were using them as interrogation rooms. From the looks of it, the two suspects weren't too happy over being questioned about the murder. After one of the cops asked a question, Mark watched Cigarette swing his arms in the air, slap the tabletop with his hand, and shake his head as if he were insulted that anyone would think he might be capable of murder. Mark had to agree with the man. Although Cigarette was an asshole, he had probably done plenty of illegal things in his life, he wasn't a killer. Same went for Toothpick. The answer to the mystery was a lot simpler. Mark was sure of it. A few minutes later, Mark was at the Ravi Roadways office looking for the dead man's brother, Chunder. Mark had expected him to be grieving, but he was on the phone, arranging for other loads and basically conducting business as usual. This time, he also got a better look at the woman in the office, the dead man's widow. She looked scared by everything that had happened, but one thing was certain, she was many years younger than the dead man. That was another piece of the puzzle that seemed to fit with Mark's idea about what was going on. Chunder got off the phone.
Will you be taking the load?
The cops won't let me leave just yet.
I see.
They're really putting those two guys on the hot seat.
This brought a faint smile to the man's face.
It will get much hotter for them, my friend. But no matter how bad it is for them, it will only be a fraction of the hell our lives have been since 9/11.
Yeah, you and all the people who lost family members in the tragedy.
People are so narrow-minded. They taunt us, threaten us. But we aren't even Muslim. We're Hindu. But people here are too stupid to know the difference.
Mark felt himself bristling at the man's comments, but he managed to keep his cool.
You know, that's an interesting word, stupid. It implies that you think you're smarter than everyone else.
I'm not smarter, just angry. I know I seem cold, but I've lost my brother, and now I have a business to run. How could I honor my brother if I let the business fall apart without him?
You say they don't know the difference between Muslims and Hindus, but you know, I wonder if you know the difference between fraud and perjury.
What are you talking about?
Fraud is lying to the police. Now, perjury is when you do it later in court under oath in front of a judge and jury.
Who is lying? Those men are racists.
Sure, but are they killers?
What? What are you saying?
Your brother didn't die in that trailer, did he?
Chunder's mouth opened in a gasp, but no words escaped his lips. Behind him, the dead man's wife got up from her desk and turned away.
Yes, he did. He died in the trailer. He was sweeping up, working hard like he always did, and they killed him because they hate us.
They don't hate you. They don't even know you. They're just confused.
Get out of here.
I think your brother died somewhere else, like at his home, or even your home, maybe in the backyard.
Chunder's face was a mask of shock and surprise, and all at once, Mark knew he'd hit the nail on the head. But where should he go from here? He had a few ideas about what happened, but they were little more than just guesses. But even if he were wrong, he had a feeling that he had enough right to get this thing solved.
See, he found you. Maybe found you with his very attractive younger wife, and you had an argument. Nothing strange about that. It happens all the time.
No!
You're a lot younger than your brother, so you're quicker to act, and you pick up a rock before he can. Then, in a moment of anger, you hit him over the head with it. You were just angry, and you didn't mean to kill him, but he dies, just like that.
No! Nothing like that happened! Now, you must get out before I...
Before what? You gonna kill me too?
Get out!
See, suddenly you had a big problem on your hand. What to do with the body of a dead brother? But you're smart. Smarter than everyone else. You said so yourself. So you figure that since he's a hard-working man, you could bring your brother's body to work and put him in the back of a trailer. Then you throw a broom in there with him to make it look good. And you blame it on a bunch of loudmouth assholes who you never liked anyway.
No!
Suddenly 9/11 isn't so bad anymore, right? Sure, it made things tough for you, but it was gonna get you off the hook for killing your brother.
No, I did not kill him. He was my brother!
Then how did he die?
I killed him.
What?
Pretty, no!
My husband was 20 years older than me. I didn't want to be his wife anymore. He wouldn't allow a divorce. Couldn't allow it. But when I insisted, he came at me and put his hands on me around my neck. So I hit him. Not with a rock, but a statue from our garden.
Mark gave a slight nod, feeling vindicated. Just then, the door opened and the young cop was standing in the doorway, along with one of the detectives.
That's the guy there. Hey, the detectives want to have a word with you.
The detective stepped into the office, saw a woman sobbing, a man with his head in his hands, and came to the conclusion there was something amiss.
What's going on here?
I think she's got something to tell you.
Mark left the room, a tingly sort of feeling all over his body, as if he just scored the overtime goal that finally won the Leafs the cup.
So what tipped you off, Dalton?
Well, a lot of things. The broom seemed wrong, and the brothers' insistence on who the murderers were was just too cut and dried. But the thing that really clinched it for me were the maggots in the dead man's mouth.
Oh yeah, how's that?
See, if the trailer door was closed, it would have been like he'd been killed indoors. But the maggots meant he was killed outside and left outside for a few hours before being dumped in the back of one of his trailers.
Not bad. Not bad at all. That's about what happened. He was killed around 6 last night. She called the brother over to the house around 8, and they let the body sit until midnight when they both snuck back into the yard and put him into the trailer.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I figured. Only I thought he was the killer.
It's still pretty good work. You ever thought about being a cop?
Plenty of times.
Why don't you put in an application?
Could I start tomorrow as a detective?
No, you'd have to go through some basic training, spend a few years as a constable then.
No thanks. I think I'll stick to driving a rig.
Safer job?
Not really. It's just a lot more exciting than being a cop.
Mark Dalton, Trucker Detective, is a Graphic Audio production. Copyright 2007, Ito Van Belkom. Production copyright 2007, The Cutting Corporation, all rights reserved. Performed by David Coyne, Nanette Savard, Ken Jackson, Terrence Azelford, Ariane Parker, and Mort Shelby. Directed by David Coyne. Book adapted for Graphic Audio by David Coyne and Ariane Parker. Graphic Audio sound design by David Coyne, Nathaniel Perry, and Johann Detweiler. Produced by Rick Rowan and Wayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. If you enjoyed Mark Dalton, be sure to look for our other Graphic Audio titles, available at Roadstops Everywhere, at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net.
If you can't find that hot Graphic Audio title you're looking for, just head to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD or MP3 disc format. Or, the fastest and cheapest way, download that puppy and play it on any of the many devices that'll play Windows Media. And if you're on the road or just a total computer feeb, snatch up the phone and call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220 or www.graphicaudio.net.